every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, SLA, SLAA, CR, RR, MM, MA, DRA, PA, HA.
The CIA.
Don't speak for them, because if we did, they'd be after us. Don't speak for any of those guys.
None of them there, guys?
As a matter of fact, we don't speak that well for ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
I have.
Okay.
I do. And that's what makes it apparent. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with the hostess with the mostest.
Shelley.
And Mark.
The host with the most. Hi.
And what does that make you?
The host with the least.
Makes him the host.
The beast with the least. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that just makes me a regular old host. Mm. I'm like in the middle host.
Mm. Sitting there at his desk with his humble trophy.
Yeah, when I was out there, you know, smoking weed, I could have been hostess, as in
Twinkie,
as in cupcake or Twinkie or Zinger, Zingers. I love Zingers. I still love Zingers.
Which ones? The chocolate ones.
Oh, it's got to be
the
chocolate
ones.
I like the raspberry ones.
The vanilla ones.
Oh. Well, let me ask you.
We could get a pack and split them among ourselves. We all like different ones.
Do you guys? Because this never did it for me, but I knew a lot of people that ate them. Mm-hmm. The snowball ones,
That's what I'm talking about, the raspberry snowball ones.
No, but those were, they were like a brown
ball. Oh, you're talking about the marshmallowy
thing.
Ball Ew. Ones? Yeah.
Snowballs.
Yeah, I've had those.
Yeah. I look at snowball completely different now, but that's for another show at another time.
Yes. Yes.
Shelly's thinking. You're not going to get it, I guarantee you.
It'll come to her.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure will.
I don't get it.
Okay.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, since we're recording all in one day, we still are thanking Sarah, Fran, Robert, and Maggie for this boozy news.
Sweet.
And anyone who sent me anything on Google, the Gmail account, I will get you on next time we record.
Google. Sweet. Connor's been dropping the ball, huh?
Yeah, he has. He hasn't been looking stuff up. He's been focused on women.
He gets weird stuff.
Yeah, he gets weird. Yeah, but it's good.
I love it.
Okay. Our first one was that one we should have done actually the last time I recorded, but I forgot to include it.
Okay.
In 1956, the American.
Wow, that's the last time really we recorded.
Wow. Does it really matter which week we do it when the date is 1956?
The American Medical Association declared alcoholism as a disease. That was in 1956.
Yeah.
I remember this story.
Well, last week, the American Society of Addiction Medicine has proclaimed addiction, including alcoholism and what they call process addictions, like gambling and shopping, shopaholics and sexaholics and stuff like that, to be a primary brain disorder.
Wow.
Which means we are no longer an environmentally caused disease. You're born with it.
Well, yeah, no
I know, but originally...
Sherlock.
It was originally categorized as a secondary disease, which means that although you may have been born with the predilection for it, you may not actually get the disease unless your environment fosters that.
Yeah.
A primary brain disorder means that you're born with it and you're probably destined to develop it later on, regardless of what your environment is.
Because it's kind of weird, because certainly there's certain kinds of stuff that's got to be environmental. You know what? If I sat Shelley down right now and you were a complete normie and I had you snort like a lot of cocaine, at the end of the cocaine, you'd be like, can I have some more? Or if you took someone for like a week and slammed them up with heroin every single day for a week, they'd become physically addicted. I mean, they'd become addicted.
Wait, is this a possible study?
Yes. Shelley, can you put in some things
write
for us
the grant.
The government?
Write the grant, quickly.
Yeah.
To do what? I'm not going to be a study like that. I'm
no,
not
no,
do
no,
that.
No, no, not on you. We'll pick someone else. Yeah. We'll pick one of my sponsees.
We'll get volunteers, yeah. Yeah, they're going to go out anyway.
We'll pick one of my new guys. Well, I'll pick one that just went out recently.
What this new definition does actually is it helps to include people that they've been with the former definition, did not include all of the people that develop isms, such as we have, that grew up in homes where there was no drinking and no one was a gambler or anything like that. It, you know, that we know tons of people like that.
Right.
That were in families where they had absolutely no exposure to that kind of behavior, and yet they grew up to be addicts or alcoholics.
Right, because when you look at it, there's also the people that out of their entire family, even if mom and dad were drinkers, like, you got three kids, and one of them.
Right.
One of them is, like, total alcoholic. The other one's like, yeah, no, I don't drink at all. And they all came up in the same exact circumstances.
Calling it a primary brain disorder sort of covers those people.
So, can I get disability?
No, we cannot. Because
I was going to say, why not have a primary brain disorder?
Years ago, after the AMA declared alcoholism a disease, alcoholics could get disability because they had a chronic disease. The government closed that loophole by stating that alcoholism, although it is categorized as a disease, was not grounds for disability because they are still able-bodied.
Do you know in the early 80s when I first was going to meetings, you could go to the disability office and say you were an alcoholic and you could get benefits? It didn't
not
work
anymore
for me, but I had other I knew other people from the 502 Club that went and they got. And I'm like, really? They're paying you for being an alcoholic? They're like, yeah. I'm like, that's awesome. Let me go apply.
Now, in today's world, you can't get it for that, but you can get it for everything else.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, except for me.
And me.
I have a primary brain disorder.
Not too bad for you.
Dude, it seems like, I don't know.
Somebody will challenge it somewhere.
You have a
secondary
brain disorder, too, though.
Dude, I've got a... What is it?
Tertiary
brain disorder.
I am a brain disorder.
Sweet.
In Pacifica, California.
Pacifica?
Up near San Francisco.
Not to be Pacifica.
This is one of those horrible irony kind of tragedies.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A pregnant Bay Area woman was killed by one of her own pit bulls on August 11th, actually. Her husband came home and found the dog standing over her mangled body. Rushed her to the hospital and she died. She and her husband were the chair people of the local Bay Area dog lovers responsible about pit bulls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and what's really, I think, kind of gross about the story is her husband is going to bury her with that pit bull's ashes because they put the dog down after it killed her.
Yeah, you know what?
That's sweet.
I don't think
just torture her for all eternity.
No, I don't think that's what it is because
That's like Roy with the tiger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tiger?
When Siegfried and Roy, when Roy got attacked by a tiger. You know what? I am confident that the woman, if she was involved in the association on pit bulls, mm-hmm. I'm confident that she still loved the dog. She didn't love him at that moment, but, you know.
Okay. In Crawford County, Ohio, yet another one bites the dust. Another small town area. Black tar heroin. Yes, has become an epidemic there. They've had 66% higher, more overdoses from heroin due to anything else.
They've gone from 1 to 66.
You know what? Better heroin.
Well, part of the problem is also because it's a depressed area right now. And, you know,
they're all doing heroin.
Well, a lot of people are out of work. And
they got depressed, all those people. They all doing heroin.
When you get an area where a lot of people are out of work and it leads people to, they're in a lot of pain.
Alternate forms of entertainment.
Yeah, they're in a lot of pain. They're upset, so they medicate themselves. A lot of them ended up getting on prescription medications. They got addicted to them.
Rips.
They can't afford to buy them black market, and their doctors have stopped prescribing them because they've realized, they're addicted to them. So they've turned to heroin because that's the cheaper alternative.
Well, heroin, you know, a little dabble, do you? You know,
like bro cream, huh?
You'll notice not as many of those people get into cocaine because when you don't have money, heroin, you get satiated at some point. You do enough heroin and it's like you're
satiated.
Is that what I said?
No, you said satiated.
Yeah, whatever. You're good for the day or you're good until you need the next dose. Whereas cocaine, when you're done with the dose, you instantly want another dose and another dose. And that gets very expensive.
You're never done.
Yeah.
Until you are.
Yeah, you're not done until you run out. And when you run out, you're not even done. As long as you still got stuff in your house you can sell.
Yeah. You still got a watch.
In Miami.
Florida!
The license of Emin Zimmer, a noted psychiatrist, was suspended. Well, apparently he's some big high muckety muck.
Okay. Note that.
Yeah. Was suspended by an emergency state order this week. His license was suspended after he tested positive for cocaine and marijuana.
So did Sigmund Freud. And
he is a he works as a substance abuse counselor.
He was just doing some marketing research
as part of his psychiatric practice.
I knew a guy that he wasn't like a certified counselor, but he was one of the guys that he I used to sponsor him. He was running an outpatient program at a local recovery hospital, and one of my sponsees, my other sponsees, goes, "Hey." He was telling us that smoking weed was okay. I'm like, what? And he eventually got removed from his post. I had to go to a good buddy of mine who was above him. I said, hey, man, I don't even know how to tell you this, but my sponsee is in your group telling people that it's okay to smoke weed.
Well, Emin Zimmer, actually, although he is denying this charge, even though he tested positive for cocaine and marijuana, he's denying this and he wants to get his license back. He actually fell asleep or passed out while driving and crashed into the ocean.
The ocean?
A big thing to miss.
Hey, yeah. I didn't see it.
Yeah. He must have gotten far out in his car because he actually had to swim to shore. The only thing he saved from his car was they found him swimming to shore with a baggie in his mouth that contained about 500 prescription pills, including Valium, Vicodin, and Xanax that he rescued. That was the only thing he saved out of his sinking car.
Yeah, well, the Coke was ruined.
Man has to have his priorities.
The Coke was ruined. There was a bunch of fish in here that were just amped up.
Go out there and throw a bunch of baking soda in the ocean and see what you can draw out of it.
It's a bunch of barracuda just running wild out there. I feel so energetic.
Yeah. In the Seychelles.
In the what?
Seychelles.
The Seychelles.
Yeah, where is that?
Islands.
I know, but where?
Off the coast of somewhere. Where are they?
Yeah, you know what? The funny thing
I
about
I think they're
islands,
off the African coast.
The funny thing about so islands is they are usually off the coast, yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Unless they're in a lake.
At any rate, Gemma Redmond and her husband Ian Redmond were honeymooning when he was killed by a bull shark.
Oh.
Yeah, he was out in the water. He was out in the water. She was sunbathing on the shore, and she heard him.
Honeymooning,
yeah.
Wow.
They had just gotten married.
Boy, that would suck.
Yeah, they just got married. She was sunbathing on the shore. She heard him screaming and shout, help, help, and she looked out, and she saw the fin and him go down, and they found his body later.
Wow.
Yeah.
And nobody to sue.
Yeah. I mean, how are you going to sue a bull shark?
With a bull attorney.
That's just sad. Let's see. Oh, this one.
Oh.
Our tax dollars at work.
Wouldn't a bull attorney and a bull shark
be the same thing? Our tax dollars at work. Here it comes.
So wouldn't a bull attorney and a bull shark be the same thing?
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why attorneys never get attacked by sharks. Professional courtesy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how this works, but a Secret Service agent named Daniel L. Valencia.
Secret?
Received a DUI while he was supposed to be protecting President Obama on a visit to Iowa recently.
Party it up.
Now, he claims he was off duty at the time.
It doesn't matter.
They are not going to...
Still a DUI.
Because he's in the Secret Service, he doesn't get prosecuted like normal people do. He gets internally...
Reviewed.
Reprimanded.
Chastised,
reviewed.
Whatever. Yeah.
Reviewed.
What I want to know is, they're in the Secret Service, then why do we know his name? Isn't it supposed to be a secret?
No.
Why?
No.
I don't think the Secret Service is
the
secret,
secret service.
It's not like it's a CIA.
The
operative.
Secret Service is actually just an employee of the Department of Treasury assigned to protect a politician or dignitary.
I think at one time
it's not very secret. Then why do they call it that?
At one time back in the day, it probably was. When you go back to like Civil War times, I mean, look at James West. He was a Secret Service agent. He had all kinds of cool things. He'd bring his arm up, a Derringer would come into his hand. He'd pull plastic explosives.
He was a secret agent, not a Secret Service.
You know what I love that? He'd pull plastic explosive out of his boot.
Is that a TV show?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good for the 1800s.
Yeah.
Is that a TV show?
Yeah. Bum 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 bum. Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
My dad went to high school with him. And Robert Conrad was actually a really small guy.
He's still a small guy.
Not very tall.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
I don't know if he is or not. But my dad said that when they were young, my dad was pretty beefy, and he would have to... Oh, and I can't remember what his real name was, but he would have to pull him... He'd have to save him in fights all the time because his mouth was bigger than his body was, so he'd punch guys and, you know, he'd write those checks his body couldn't cash.
Yeah.
Duke... It was something weird, like Duke Smith or something. I mean, Duke was a weird name. You know, knocked these energizers off my shoulder.
Go ahead. I dare you. Knock this off.
Yeah.
I
liked it. He got a chick in every episode, at least one.
We have two candidates, not one, but two candidates for Mother of the Year, and both of them are from Volusia,
Florida.
Yes.
Is it Mothers of the Year?
Yes.
I mean,
I'll bet they're not
the hero of the week.
When we say Mother of the Year, Father of the Year usually means they've done something incredibly stupid. Or
I was going to say, it's not like an MF-er of the Year.
No.
Right?
No. This is tongue-in-cheek, though.
Yes. One of them, Sarah Lynn Creek, was arrested and charged with child neglect after she left her 5-year-old child in her stroller outside a bar while she went inside to drink.
And a pit bull ate her testicles.
No. A patron coming out of the bar saw her leave the child there and say, "Stay here, I'm going to get you a candy bar."
Stay here.
So the guy that came out of the bar and heard her say that, called the police.
Spoil sport.
Yeah, really. There's no honor among thieves anymore?
Quick. You know what would really suck? If he calls the police and 2 seconds later, mom comes out with a candy bar.
Well, she didn't. She was in there drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And also, let's see.
Did she at least park him in the shade?
It doesn't say.
She was drunking.
She was drunking. There's also 23-year-old from the same place, 23-year-old Keona Davis.
From the same place.
Yes, who owns a bar.
Yeah, who owns a bar.
With stroller parking.
No, she was arrested.
Installed stroller parking in front of the bar. Yeah.
She was arrested after several motorists called 911 to report that she was driving her truck around with her baby strapped into a stroller stuck in the back bed of the truck.
Wow. Wow.
There's somebody using a lot more water than they should get.
Although, you know what's funny? Because we say that now. How many times when you were a kid did you ride in the back of a truck with like a relative driving where there was nothing holding you in at all?
Oh, yeah.
We used to fight over the wheel well seats.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's different.
I got bounced out of a truck one time. Fortunately, we weren't going fast, but... You know.
Yeah, but that's different when you're 11 years old and you're riding around in the bed. This is a baby strapped into a stroller on wheels in the back of... I mean, the stroller's probably flying around the bed of the truck.
Hey, I had my bottle of formula and I was riding on the hood.
Yeah, right.
Kids are laughing.
Oh, we're way past time, so I'll have to do the rest later. So that's the end of the boozy news. Oh, except I had a really good one. Oh, well.
Do it.
Oh, go for it.
Do it.
Okay.
We can do-do-do again.
Okay, in Cook County, Florida.
Florida!
They decided to go through the books. You know how you end up with a lot of what's called blue laws, laws that aren't really enforced because they're kind of ridiculous?
Like they're really old.
Yeah, like in Kentucky, it's illegal to own a giraffe. I mean, stuff like that.
Well, that's a good rule.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It is now legal to juggle, do somersaults, hang out, and do fortune-telling in Cook County's forest preserves. Because before then, all those things were illegal.
Wait.
It was illegal to juggle?
Yes. To juggle, do somersaults, or hang out. It was literally hang out.
That'd be known as trespassing.
Yes. Or tell fortunes.
Or loitering.
Was there a lot of fortune telling going on in the forest?
I don't know. They're not sure. They wiped out tons of laws that were on the books, and the lawmakers say that they're not really sure when those laws, some of those laws came into being or why they're there. They were just written into the books years ago and for no apparent reason whatsoever. But they said the one lawmaker was said that fortune tellers are now free to go into our forest preserves and do whatever it is they do.
Nice. I got to throw this one thing in here. We were talking about, you know, no giraffes.
Yes.
Planet of the Apes, the rise of the Planet of the Apes. And I'm not going to give away any like plot line or anything, but they're in this chimpanzee gets picked up by the San Bruno Animal Control and they take him into the facility. And they have a full-on ape preserve in there. I mean, they've got, you know, like about 50 chimps. They've got like a 600-pound orangutan, and they've got like this giant grayback gorilla. And I'm like, really? At the San Bruno Animal Control Shelter?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been to my local animal control shelter where I got a couple of my animals from. Yeah, it's lucky if they've got food on a plate with something for them to lay on. And this thing had this intense facility.
You know why that is?
Why?
Because it's a movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Good for you.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
I'm sure they are.
Welcome back.
To that same old place that you laughed about.
I don't laugh
about
that much.
The names have all changed since you've been around.
I don't remember the names.
That's okay. We don't remember any other lines after that one.
That's it.
Sweet. So I have no idea what the topic is because I wasn't here when you guys picked it. So if this topic sucks, send your email to Mark and Shelley.
Which topic you want to use, Shelley? I don't care.
Radio at gmail.com.
I don't care. I don't really give a crap that you don't know what the topic is. Too bad for you.
I don't give a crap?
Yeah.
About?
Anything.
Anything.
So are we really talking about complacency?
No.
Oh.
Just not giving a crap.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, something.
So who's the lead on music playing? Since we don't give a crap, we can just end it right here.
I don't care.
No problem.
Whatever you want.
I don't care.
No, sometimes I do care, and that's part of the problem is, you know, I had a sponsee go out, and I was pretty torn up about it, and everybody reminded me, everybody that I talked to, like a bunch of my friends online and stuff, on my recovery pages, and I talked to my sponsor, and everybody kept saying, what are you trying to do, God's job? This is not about you. And, you know, and they're right, but it still kind of makes you feel kind of bleh. When that happens, whenever you have, you know, at least me, it does. But on the other hand, there's the aspect of, you know, somebody calls you and says, I just went out, and do you really care?
I expect it.
I care.
I care, but I expect it.
But why do we expect it? I mean, they used to say, or they still say, actually, that this is a disease of relapse, which is bull crap, in my opinion. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know.
It's not.
It didn't used to be.
It's not now.
And yet so many people buy into that. It's a disease of relapse. It's like they're setting themselves up for a fall.
Because if it's a disease of relapse, then I'm owed something.
Because you haven't.
Yeah, yet.
I think I'm owed something, too, even though I had one. I had one, but I think that I'm deserved.
You only
I
had one?
I had one.
You're owed one.
Yes, sure.
I had one one-ounce drink. That was what I went out on.
That didn't even count.
I think that I'm owed a
relapse. At least my sponsee that went out... He drank Grey Goose.
That's how it always goes.
And I'm like, really?
We just talked about that a couple shows ago.
Yeah, we did, a couple
you
shows
drink
ago.
Grey Goose on the way out and you know, pop off on the way back.
Yeah. And you know what the problem is with that? This guy, now me, I mean, I'm a low-budget drinker. And Grey Goose is a high-budget drink. It's like, I can guarantee you that any alcoholic that's out there, they would say that this was 100% wasted on this guy. They're like, really? Because he could have done pop off, it wouldn't have seemed any different to him. I guarantee it. He like mix it with some juice or something. That was it. And I'm like, really? I'm like, that's for shooting. Grey Goose would be for straight, I would think.
No.
And you know what the thing is with him? It's not that I don't care that he didn't go out, but it was sort of expected from me as well. You know,
expected from everybody.
The ones that
I was surprised he went.
The
no,
ones,
you weren't.
Yeah, you were. The ones that get me The ones that get me are the people that you don't expect it, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're gone.
Yeah, and the ones that really kind of you think, holy crap.
We knew
yeah.
a guy that had been around.
9 out of 10 times, the unexpected happens.
Yeah. We knew a guy had been around for 26 years. And one week I hear, not only did he go out, but he overdosed. And I'm like, wow. Because I don't know about you guys, but to me, I give more of a crap when it's someone that goes out with, like, as much time as me or more. Mm-hmm. Because I give a crap because it reminds me of how easy that could happen to anybody.
But, Bruce, as we've talked about many times, if I went back out, I would absolutely overdose. You know why?
Because your body can't take the doses.
Yeah,
because
I would go do what I do.
Yeah. And we're not in our 20s anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not wired for getting wired like that.
That's a problem. What else do you not give a crap about, Shelley? I'll tell you what she doesn't give a crap about.
What?
Folding down the sheets on the side of the bed to keep my side cool.
Yeah, that drives her nuts.
I don't know. I go to meetings, and there are some meetings that are a little bit rowdier than other meetings. And to be honest, most of the time I don't give a crap if the meeting is rowdy.
Yeah, I really don't give a crap about that.
And then you go to other meetings where it's not rowdy, and they make a, you know, if somebody starts whispering for 2 seconds, they're like all over you.
You know what? I don't give a crap about that either. Because those kind of meetings, they're that kind of meeting.
Yeah. You know,
the meetings that we don't give a crap about because there's a lot of action and stuff, there's always a lot of that. So I don't give a crap about it because that's the way it always is. But if I go to a group like Pitzer, where they ring a bell to come in from break, you got to expect them to be that way.
Yeah, and it's not so much that I mind that. I would go to those meetings if that was what I wanted, and I would go to other meetings if I wanted something else. It does bother me a little bit. I don't mind the rowdiness of most of our meetings, except when it drags the meeting down to a standstill. That bugs me.
Yeah.
Like last night?
Yes. Yeah. Last night was a car crash.
You know what was funny last night, though? One of the guys that's usually one of the major offenders of that, who is secretary of the meeting last night, there's two other guys on the side that rarely get involved in that at all. And they are just talking about it. Rah, 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 rah. And Fausto is like, our friend Fausto is like stopping and looking at them. I'm like, yeah, that's usually you and Greg.
Yes, that's why I leaned forward and said, oh, now you know how it feels, because that's what they usually do to me. I'm usually the secretary.
You know, he had the look of surprise on his face. We look over, he goes, really? Is it really like that? We're like, yeah, it's really like
that. Okay, guys, I know you listen. Yeah, it's really like that.
I don't think they do. You know what's funny?
I don't think they listen either.
Of all our really close friends, I only know of several that listen, and some of them are like our Facebook friends. Like, we know that Fran listens, we know that Bill listens, we know that Sarah listens, and Robert, and these guys. But of the people in our immediate group, I know that my sponsee Mark listens, my sponsee Michael listens, and our friend Terry listens. Those are the only guys I know, because you know what they're like? Dude, we want to hear this. We just go to coffee.
Jake listens.
Who? Jake
listens. Doug listens.
Sweet. Shout out to Doug and Jake and all our friends.
It's one of my it's a requirement for my sponsees.
Dude, that's
you
awesome.
You make your sponsees listen to the show?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I forbade my sponsee from listening to the show.
I tell them if they listen to the show, it's 2 days a week. They don't have to call me.
Wait. Hang on a second here.
What?
You did what?
I forbade my sponsee. No, I didn't. Oh. I was kidding.
By the way, since we're almost at the end of the show, if I really needed a meeting,
you wouldn't be sitting here listening to this. You'd be in a meeting.
Well, hopefully you wouldn't be.
You can go to the meeting. Just put one of your little iPod ears phones off so you can hear the show and the meeting at the same time.
Dude, I don't care.
Double recovery. Yeah, would you care about that if someone did that?
Right now, I don't care about much. Right now, I'm still trying to recover from this morning.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, there's so many things. What else do you not care about, Mark? Is there anything?
I have a list.
Program crap.
I mean, it's
you don't
one of the things
about?
I say out of all the things in life I don't care about. That's one of them.
That's true. Like, you know what? Like, I can tell you something, and we've gone over this a lot of times, but you know the thing I don't care about? I don't care about saying I'm sober or clean and sober in an NA meeting. I don't care about saying clean and sober in an AA meeting.
Yeah, I don't care.
Because I so don't care about that.
I don't care about saying I'm an alcoholic in an AA meeting.
What got me there is not nearly as important as what keeps me there.
Yeah.
And that I do care about.
Mm-hmm.
What are the 7 words?
Don't drink or use no matter what.
Yep, that's the ones that'll fix everything.
Yep.
I thought there was just one word that fixed everything.
Which was that?
Which word is that?
pray.
Wow. Okay. I was going a whole different direction when I was trying to think of which word it was.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what direction it was.
I was, too.
Keep that word to yourself.
Mine was going to be a little dark and twisty.
The very first one I thought of started with an F.
Uh-huh.
But then I figured I needed an it.
Yeah.
It used to be the way they'd say the short version of the Serenity Prayer. Yeah, F it. So, Shelley.
What?
What would... Not that I care. But what would your final words on not caring be?
Big Book Mac used to say, there are no big deals. That's it.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah, I'm taking somebody else's words for my last words.
There you go.
May
Mark,
you rest in peace.
What would your final words on the not caring? I already know what this is going to be, but go ahead.
It just doesn't matter.
No, I thought you were going to say, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. You know what? Of the many things in life to care about, most of them are not the day-to-day things that seem to screw people up. I really, you know, people talking in meetings, all that stuff. The only thing I would have to do with that I would care about is if people are disrupting a meeting to a point that a newcomer's having an issue with it, I would make a special effort after that meeting to go talk with that newcomer.
Yeah, well, you know, the longer I'm around this program, the less I care about.
See, I hope nice. I don't get to that point. I hope I care about something.
You'll want to be there when you get old and...
I'll save a seat for you.
When you become one of the elders.
Shelly's like, what? Save a
when
seat.
You come, when you become one of the when you become one of the elders, like Bruce.
Yeah, please. You remember when 20 used to be an elder? Not so much anymore. Now to speak at the old timers meeting, you got to have 30, and I'm like, really?
I love that when the guy in the meeting said, if you need a book or want to buy a book and need arrangements, talk to one of the elders. And looked at you.
Who was it the other day? This young guy in a meeting was talking about, you know, that he really, you know, he thought he maybe should listen to the elders. He mentioned me by name. I'm like, F you. F you. And then I had another guy at that same meeting at coffee break telling me that, you know, 49 is not really old. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you're 49.
Yeah.
You can't admit it's old because then it doesn't work.
Yeah, 60 is the new middle age.
Yes.
Yeah, if you live to be 120.
No.
I'm in the twilight right now. I'm like October.
No.
Maybe even November.
Because you're younger than me and I'm barely in summer.
No, then I'm spring. Sweet. Shelley.
What?
Do we have any friends online?
Not anymore.
Not after this show. They don't care.
Did they email us?
They don't care.
No.
Did we get a supercalifragilistic email?
No, not
we
yet.
We don't know. Well, no, not yet.
What am I doing? What am I saying? Oh, intherooms.com.
Yes.
.com.
It's an online recovery community where you can put up a profile, meet some people in the A of your choice, go to online chats and meetings, go to our Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to the show on our embedded player, and you can surf the site while it's all free. While you surf, whatever. Yeah, you get it. Just go there and look at crap, okay?
Mark, do we have any friends back in the city of bromance?
In the city of brotherly love, we have Bruce.
The other white meat, bromosexual that he is.
Yes. At 12-Step Gazette, 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go up on our recovery101.net site, scroll down to the big freak big-ass banner that says 12-Step Gazette.
Banner. I need to make those banners smaller.
And just, I like the size of that nice big banner. Just click on it.
So you can see it.
Yeah, it's right above the people who've been our band of the month for the last half a year.
Yeah, you know what?
What?
This, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to change. We're going to go back to 8 Days Clean because they have a new album out.
Good. But anyway, you can read the 12-Step Gazette online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can get the subscription prescription and have it sent to you via the United States Postal Service. You need to pay for the postage on that. Also, if you have an Alano Club or a place where many gather, you can contact Bruce, and he will send you numerous copies of the 12-Step Gazette to splay about the location.
Let me explain you something.
Display. And if you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce. And he will show
you what to do. Turnkey operation,
basically. That's right. Just show you. You just put it up and bring in the money, baby.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com.
.com.
recovery101radio@gmail.com.
.com.
recovery101radio@hotmail.com.
.com.
And if you'd like to join the crack staff, that's right, the crack staff selling our crack advertising. You can send it to recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. And if you'd like to advertise with us, you can get in contact with us any way you want. Don't forget Recovery Idol. You know, you guys, if you're in a band or you play an instrument or something you want to do as a jingle, send it in. Also, speaking of bands of the month, if you're in a recovery, a band where the majority of your members are in recovery, and you would like to be a band of the month, contact us, and we will use your music for lead out music and all that stuff.
As long as it doesn't suck.
Well, you know, as long as it doesn't suck. And if you'd like to look at videos, youtube.com/easylook, youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly!
AJ's clean.
Wow. You can tell how much she cared about that.
You just said that they were going to be our new band because they got a so that's...
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
Watch your middle sign.
This is Eric.
No, you better not.